Right, Kelsey, I think you have most of, Kelsey and Jay, I think you have most of the board members. We did get an email from John Spencer that he wouldn't be available, and I believe I sent an email from Kelly Putney as well. And all of the presenters should be online now. I'll double check with Sarah offline, but she's on it all later. So you should be good to go.
Okay, usually Megan reads the list of who we have with us and then we just say our names. Are we doing that now or are we just winging it? Like,
that might be a little difficult. You know, Megan unfortunately fell ill and we are kind of scrambling here a little bit. So if there's a way for people to do the board members to do a roll call, that would be great. We could certainly read, I could read the names off of the agenda as well, whatever you'd prefer.
Yeah, let's just go. I can see who's here. So Barbara, present.
Here.
Dave.
Here.
Stacy.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
And then if you're one of our guest speakers from the city talking about Section 30, can you say your name for us?
Ryan LaPosa, City of Vancouver.
Thanks, Ryan.
And Chad Eichen, City of Vancouver.
Thank you.
Brent Bates from Harmony Sports.
Thank you, Brent. Charlie, you're here too. Uh-oh, Charlie's having his audio issues, but I see him.
Oh, hold on. Can you hear me?
Oh, yep.
I'm on the phone as well. Okay, sorry.
Perfect. Is there anyone else here about Section 30 and Harmony we need to do an introduction for?
I don't think I need an introduction, but I'm Sean Jansen, Executive Director, Washington Timbers. I'm on.
Okay, good. I don't see your name, so you must have called. Oh, there you are at the back. Okay, great. And we've got Steve, our consultant, who's going to be presenting later. And the rest looks like park staff. Stacy, I got you correct. Okay. All right. Well, because we had 15 minutes of technical difficulties, we are going to just really get into it. I'll circle back to administrative actions kind of after our presentation. So if the City of Vancouver wants to get us started on discussing the Section 30 issue, that would be great.
Sure. Sorry, I had to unmute myself. This is Chad Eichen. I'm Director of Community and Economic Development at the City of Vancouver. Thanks for inviting us today to be part of your meeting and to try to answer questions about Section 30. I understand you had a pretty good discussion at the last meeting, and which we weren't able to attend. But with me is Ryan LaPosa. He's our transportation manager for the city. And so between the two of us, hopefully we can answer the questions that you have. I thought I would start off by just giving a little bit of background about Section 30 and the city's vision for this area. And then we can jump into questions if that's easiest, or Ryan, Ryan and I didn't rehearse this, but if he wants to jump in on any of the sort of overarching transportation concepts, maybe that would be a good place to start too. So Section 30 is almost a full square mile that is envisioned as a future urban employment center by the City of Vancouver. We annexed it into the city back in 2009, and it's really almost simultaneously put together a sub-area plan that showed what the future vision would be for this area. In many ways, it's a blank canvas. There are no internal streets. There's really not much internal infrastructure as far as utilities go. It's just some areas are still being actively mined. And so it's in a way it's an exciting opportunity because there are about 440 acres that could be developed for high wage employment, as well as neighborhood commercial that would support those employment uses. Now, I wanted to also say that Harmony Fields are talked about at length in the plan, and the plan values a Harmony Sports Complex and envisions that would continue to exist and also play an important part in recreation opportunities for not only people who live around the area, but also people who will be working in this area, as well as some shared parking opportunities down the road. There are also many challenges to the full build out of this vision, which will occur over 20 to 30 years. We're already 10 years into it and are still waiting for that first big project. Last December, the city approved a development agreement with HP Inc., which is, many of you know, is a major employer here in Vancouver. And they will be relocating their campus from Columbia Center to Section 30 and are really the first major development that we'll have seen. And they've purchased enough acreage to not only replace their existing campus, but expand significantly into the future. So there are other developments that are being talked about within Section 30. And so I think the timing is good to talk about what the road network will look like and timing some of those improvements. And so I think I've rambled enough. That's a general overview. I'll turn it over to Ryan if he wants to provide any commentary on the transportation system.
Thanks, Chad. And I echo Chad's appreciation for you letting us attend your meeting today. Again, my name is Ryan Laposa. I'm the transportation manager for the City of Vancouver. Wanted to talk a little bit about the transportation aspect of the Section 30 sub-area plan. As Chad noted, essentially we're dealing with a pretty blank slate. So when the sub-area plan was done, we did take a shot at laying out some internal streets within the section, both in the east-west and the north-south direction, recognizing that depending on how the section were to develop, depending on property boundaries, the location of some of these internal streets could shift. But one of the things that we tried to do is around the perimeter of the section along 172nd Avenue, 18th Street, 192nd Avenue, and 1st Street, we tried to line up these internal streets with existing nodes along that perimeter. So for example, we have a north-south street coming up from the south, coming up from the CTC, roughly in the vicinity of 184th Avenue. That aligns with a future street that will come up from CTC that's actually nearly built now. And then another example is 9th Street. 9th Street will be one of the few east-west routes that actually is able to go all the way from one side of the section at 172nd over to the other side at 192nd. So we'd have one continuous east-west route that would bisect the section. And then, of course, another east-west route, which is more germane to today's meeting, is 13th Street. We aligned 13th Street with the existing 13th Street that comes in from the east, which at the time was still just a kind of a farm-to-market road when the plan was developed, but that is quickly becoming a fairly well-traveled arterial that's bringing a lot of traffic, a lot of folks in who are new homes that are being built out east of 192nd, both in the city of Camas as well as out in the county. So the goal and 13th Street, if it were to go through, we don't think it would actually ever be able to go all the way over to 172nd Avenue because there's some pretty significant topographic restrictions between the bottom of the quote unquote quarry and the 172nd Avenue, which sits up on a berm. So, but then 13th Street would easily tie into at least one or two of the north-south routes. So it helps us to create kind of that grid concept that folks, if you've read the Section 30 plan, you've seen that diagram that shows just kind of how we're going to have some major roads that will also be fed by local access roads that are actually, you know, are accessing neighborhoods, businesses, commercial centers, and so forth. Echoing what Chad said about the Harmony Complex, we definitely the complex is mentioned at length in the plan. It's a complement to how Section 30 will develop, especially up at the northern end of Section 30. We anticipate a mix of residential with some smaller commercial, and we would fully expect that those residential properties would want to be able to they would enjoy having ready access, especially without having to get into a car. They could walk or bike over to the Harmony Complex and take advantage of those resources. So we want to make sure that how we go forward with the plan complements the complex. So that's my rambling. So I'll turn it over to the meeting facilitators if we want to open it up for questions.
So this is Jay Chester. I had sent, and I'm on the Parks Advisory Board. So I had looked at the Section 30 design guidelines, everything, and I'd sent over a couple of four or five questions that I kind of asked you guys, you and Chad, to look at, Ryan, and if you could, and it really stressed on two points. One is the safety aspect of running an arterial or a collector road through an active sports park. And then the second one was the possibility of relocating, as discussed in the Section 30 documents, the relocating of Harmony Sports Complex, and the reality, if that's a reality or not, or even a feasible reality, I'll call it. So were you guys able to look at that, or if you could address both the safety aspect, how you expect to have a safe, you know, operations of a road through the middle of an active sports complex. And then if that can't be done, then can the sports complex be relocated?
Yeah, we did receive your questions. And so we worked with our staff to help kind of formulate some answers. So let me just kind of go through those one by one. So one of the questions was the type of section that's being proposed, and how that would be conducive to the complex. So the proposed section for 13th Street, it's a three-lane section, one travel lane in each direction, and then a third lane in the middle, which is essentially a turn lane. And so, you know, depending on where we need those turn lanes, you know, you'll see those turn lanes at key intersections. You might not necessarily see a continuous center lane the entire way. And one of the things that we believe we can do with the design of 13th Street is to create it in such a manner that it's context sensitive. It complements the surrounding land use. So obviously, as it passes through the sports complex, we would want to think about ways to create, you know, cross circulation for pedestrians that are moving from one side of the complex to the other. And we've had great success with enhanced pedestrian crossings, even pedestrian signal only type crossings. We've done a number of those around the community, and then also just thinking about with this going through the property, how might the complex itself develop over time. We've seen some development concepts that were brought to the city via our pre-app, and you know, it envisions some redevelopment of the complex, you know, over time. And so how that might be better facilitated or facilitated with this street. The other thing is, as 13th Street were to move through the complex and continue west, it then enters into an area that we anticipate is going to be predominantly residential development. And so we want to continue that context sensitive design and make this street a street that is low speed. You know, it is going to carry cars on it. We would expect it's going to bring folks in who want to access Section 30. But we want to do so in a way that folks, you know, we're not having speeding, you know, so the potential for design techniques that help to promote low speed and you know, sensible driving. The sub area plan, and we've talked about potentially, you know, could we move 13th Street? Could we change the alignment of 13th Street, you know, still have it connect at 192nd and 13th at that existing intersection, but then potentially adjust the alignment as it passes through the Harmony Complex and into the rest of the section, you know, in a manner that better complements, you know, both the current and the future vision of the Harmony Complex. So I know early on when we were talking with folks with the soccer association and the you know, some of the users, you know, same types of issues that were raised as far as, well, how can we do this in such a manner that it doesn't that it minimizes the impact. So we believe that there's some options there, especially if we're promoting a lower speed roadway, you know, introducing some curves and introducing, you know, some alignment changes that would lessen the impact and also promote that low speed scenario. If you've read the sub area plan, there is conversation in there about potentially relocating the complex. As Chad mentioned, this plan was developed back in 2009, 2010. The Harmony Complex looked a lot different back then. And so there was, you know, not near the investment that there is now. And so, you know, one idea that was put into the plan is we simply relocate the entire complex to another part of the section, so that there's not near the impact that's being created with this street network. Not sure if that's, you know, given the amount of investment that's occurred over the last 10 years with the Harmony Complex, not sure if that's still viable or not.
And then Brian, if I could add to
Go ahead, Chad.
One of the reasons back in 2009 was an assumption that because the rest of Section 30 had been pretty much mined out for the gravel and the area of Harmony Comp not been mined. And there's value in the gravel there. And the thought was, if somebody wanted to come forward and propose to mine that out and basically move the park somewhere else, then the plan should really look at where those potential areas might be. Not a lot of analysis went into those particular sites as far as I know. So it was just, I think, some concepts of where Harmony might go if somebody wanted the gravel that's underneath the fields.
So, okay, this is Jen Chester again, and I appreciate that was the historical version of the Section 30, and I understand that. We understand that. Running a three-lane road, two-lane road, any kind of road through an active sports complex, number one, if you look at the alignment as it's proposed today, straight from 192nd going west, you take out a couple of baseball fields, and you're within 100 feet of three or potentially 100 feet or so. I don't have a scale right here, but you're very close to three very, you know, turfed soccer fields and lights and everything. So, I mean, I don't know how you could ever make that safe. And I don't know how you could ever create a scenario where a street, even a residential street, should be running through an active sports complex. But, you know, I just don't see it, and I don't think I appreciate the demand. You think of the road trips coming out from the east side of 192nd out of Camas and everything, but most of those roads go south down to First Street, which is a 6-lane paved median arterial. I think this is where the traffic relief is going to go down to there. I do echo the thought that people from Section 30 will want to go over to Harmony Sports Complex and walk and ride bikes and that type of pedestrian activity that I think, Harmony Sports Complex is welcome or will welcome the opportunity to kind of weave that into the park. But again, it's such a huge safety issue trying to run a roadway through there. And then you talk about, changing things, improvements. I mean, this isn't Harmony Sports Complex's, they're not causing this roadway to go through. So whoever causes the roadway to go through should participate in any kind of safety measures or anything else that should come along, shouldn't it? I mean, I guess I don't understand how safe we can make a road running through a sports complex, I guess is the point.
So let me touch on the timing issue, which is kind of what you were alluding to. We're about to embark on a comprehensive traffic study that's going to cover all of the development of Section 30, and it's going to contemplate how each of the different parties intend to develop their property out, and that's going to help us to just from a comprehensive standpoint identify how does this impact the transportation system that serves the section and what sort of mitigation is needed. It's also going to help us to determine the timing of how various routes, both within the section and connecting to the existing arterial system, will need to be built. So it's going to help determine at what point would that connection on 13th Street, over to 192nd, at what point would that need to be built, and what is that being triggered by, which developer A, B, or C within Section 30. And if it's not being triggered by one developer or another, maybe it's a combination of developments or a partnership with the city that gets it done. So I don't envision that the Harmony Complex is going to build it. I think the only way that would happen is if the Harmony Complex completely underwent a very significant transformation that really significantly changes the amount of traffic that's generated as a result of the complex. And then at that point, that's when we'd have to start looking at, what would have to happen there. But as I mentioned earlier, we've designed roads in the past that have, these types of pedestrian only crossings. And, I think it has a lot to do with, where would a node be, along 13th Street between 192nd and the west boundary of the complex. There was some conversation earlier this year that the county was having with a developer in Section 30, and it contemplated a land exchange. And as a part of that, there were some designs that were created that really showed how, especially relative to the three soccer turf fields, how the roadway would go through there, how that would provide access to parking, driveway access coming off of 13th. And so it could easily be a situation where at one of those nodes, that is not only a node that allows access in to both the Harmony Complex, both north and south of 13th, but then that's also a key place where we're able to implement some type of a pedestrian friendly solution that creates a safe crossing of 13th from one side of the complex to the other.
So Ryan, I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I know you're sort of in the lion's den here, but I think a majority of us just don't, as much as you can tell us about the safety of this road and all these things to make it sort of a working space, I think our board is stuck on the fact that there aren't very many sports fields in Clark County and the city of Vancouver. To chop some up, to put a road through, to benefit private development when Harmony Sports is such a beneficial to the whole community. That's hard for us to stomach. And the optics on your side aren't going to be really good. Like, if the public hears the city of Vancouver is going to put a road through this complex, from a PR standpoint, I can't see the public being like, yeah, let's do that. So I think that's where we're coming from. Like, we're going to have constituents coming to us complaining about this. It's not going to, I don't think we can sell it with the safe road issue. So I think a question I need answered is, does this road absolutely have to go through this complex? And I know you keep saying, well, we have to see the trips, how many, blah, blah, blah. But I think Harmony has some grants tied up that with their parking lot, that we don't have endless amount of time to decide, is this road going through or is this road not going through? So I think I kind of need those questions.
So as I mentioned early on, we really only have about two locations where we can have an east-west road that goes completely through the section. And from a transportation's perspective, you want to try, you as you're developing a piece of property, like, want to create somewhat of a network of primary routes that can carry, that they can receive the traffic from the local neighborhoods, from the commercial, the job centers, and so forth, and then direct that traffic out to the perimeter of the section and ultimately to the residences that these folks are going to be going to, or if you're a resident inside the section, you're being directed out to, you know, your ultimate points of destination. So, you know, 13th Street is one, 9th Street is the other. 9th Street is really the only east-west street that will be able to go all the way across the section and connect 192nd over to 172nd. And so if we didn't do 13th Street, if we didn't build 13th Street from 192nd over, folks who want to get into Section 30 that are coming from the east, you know, they're left with having to go down 192nd to 9th Street or up to 192nd to 18th Street. And then they're going to have to use one of the north-south arterials to get into the section. And even folks who, you know, there's going to be quite a bit of employment center in the south end of Section 30 associated with HP. We fully anticipate that there's probably folks that are going to work at that complex who live out on the east side in Camas or in unincorporated Clark County. 13th Street is really the most direct way they're able to get to their place of employment. Otherwise, they've got to take a fairly roundabout way that just simply creates added congestion on those routes. So when you eliminate routes, then you just build up the congestion on the other routes that you've been left with. So that was, you know, that was one of the responses that was provided in response to why do we need it? Why can't we live without it? It's really because it's one of only two east-west connections into this section. If we lose that one, we're really going to be overwhelming the other connection and not fairly distributing the traffic across the grid.
I think that the safety issue really is the primary concern we've got here. And when you say that you're going to mitigate it by adding curves or maybe even speed bumps, that's going to make that route a less desirable route. I myself have just a tremendous concern looking at the amount of traffic that's around H.B. Fuller, for example, which is more familiar to me than Harmony, but I'm sure they're similar. And you've got literally hundreds of parents taking their children there for games and practice that I think are going to have the same concerns as we do. I don't see any way of running any type of arterial through there unless you put the speed limit at 20, and then let's face it, who obeys those 20-mile speed limits? I don't want to say I don't, but I'm just saying I've seen the cars racing by. I have major concerns about the safety of our children with that. Is there not a way that you could take for example, you said 9th Street was going to go through. That's just a couple of blocks away. Is there not a way of making that street a little wider to accommodate eliminating this short little area down 13th through our park?
Well, yeah, you can always make a street wider, but when you create greater distance between two parallel routes, you're really creating, you're impacting how efficient you can move traffic. And so if we, again, as I mentioned, if we didn't build 13th Street, then folks would have to go down to 9th or they'd have to go up to 18th. Well, now we have this, you know, now we have this very large, what we call a super block between these two east-west connectors, that it really decreases the efficiency of how to move vehicles, you know, through the section and in and out.
Is that efficiency more important than the safety?
No, and that's what I was getting ready to say. I completely appreciate the safety aspect of what's proposed here, and I think, you know, I think through design and through proper thought, you know, we can put a street through there that would be safe. This has been done elsewhere. I've been to a number of different similar types of locations, recreational type locations, where they have for whatever reason, they have a street that bisects that, and they have very safe, controlled crossings where folks are able to move from one side to the other. I also think it gives us an opportunity to think about how the complex will develop over time. The complex, there is, or at least I've seen a future vision for the complex. Proposes an indoor facility, continues to complement the outdoor facilities. But I think you can start to think about how to better design the complex itself, so that, you know, perhaps there's an opportunity to minimize some of those crossings. You know, maybe there's an opportunity to, you know, make one side of 13th more centric to one type of recreational use versus the other side. And then, you know, there's an opportunity there. So, I mean, again, we've done this before. I've seen this done before. But yeah, I don't want to downplay the city's stance on safety, because that's at the top of our list here. And we really want to think about that.
And if I could jump in, is there an opportunity where we could work with the association or the Parks Advisory Board? I'm putting you on the spot here, or sending them when we get to that point, what the design of that street would look like. I know that's probably a ways out in time, but What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we're a ways out before this street's going to be built. That said, we want to address these concerns now. We can start to explore what types of techniques could be used to promote pedestrian, bike, and you know, overall safety through this corridor, and kind of show the board what those tools look like and how they perform. We've used some here in town, you know, in the city, but they're, you know, we're part of a national association that deals with this very issue of how to make our streets safe for all users, and there's a number of different tools that are used for specific examples such as this that I think we could go to that well and bring some of those back to the board to kind of share.
I have a quick question, and then we're going to try to, I feel like we have a ton of questions about this, so this will not be the last time we see you two. And yes, we'll follow up more. So I'm going to try to wrap this up by 5, because our consultant has to get to the City of Vancouver's meeting. But one question is, 9th splits the section east to west in the middle. Why does the southern half of the section not need a collector, but the northern section does?
We actually, the plan does show an east-west down at 6th. that would be predominantly for accessing the, what I would consider the southeast quarter of Section 30. And that probably will come over to 184th Avenue. So, and that one is shown, but it's also dependent on how property in that part of the section develops. But yeah, there's one additional one, but so we're kind of looking at, you know, at how we divide the section up into fourths and how to best access those areas.
Going back, this is Jay Chester. Going back to the opportunity to meet a little bit, could we'd like to meet with you guys in a little more of a setting where we can have some further discussions, more pointed discussions. There's two issues here we've got going on. One is the, Harmony Sports Complex is trying to do some improvements to their parking lot and for safety reasons and items like that. And this is held up. This issue is holding that up, number one. So we need to figure out how to get through it. And it's because we can't get a site development plan or they can't get a site development plan. So they can't get a permit to go do the parking lot improvements. So that's one of the drivers is as soon as possible, we'd like to get a permit or permission from the city to go do parking lot improvements for safety reasons. Number two, you say as the park develops, there's opportunities to change things and everything else. It's just responsibilities and costs that, we can move forward with and try to identify who's going to do what and the impact of the next steps. So number one, we'd like to have a meeting outside of this venue to kind of discuss some of these things. And I'd like to see some of the examples that you were mentioning, Ryan, about where roads have gone through active parks and safely and items like that, because, we're always up for good ideas. And then number two, we still need to, I don't know that you sold us yet on safety and it's the timing. I realize that and everything else. But again, we need to get these parking lot improvements for the park due to safety in, and that's being held up by the city. So we'd like to work out something there.
Well, yeah, I definitely think there's an opportunity to work that out. We spoke a little bit with the county about that parking lot project. So we just need to figure out how that can go forward. Cause my understanding is there's some deadlines associated with those grants that need to be met. So, right. And we don't want to run afoul to that. So, I would definitely, both Chad and I think would entertain, having an offline discussion about that and seeing how that can go forward. And then I'm going to put our transportation planning folks, to work, researching some of these examples I've been talking about and see if we can get some information.
Okay. I guess the other thing I would say is I don't know how the Parks Advisory Board feels, but I still feel like we need to go to our Clark County counselors and voice our concerns on the safety aspect of this and pursue that avenue, if you will, to make sure that our counselors are aware of what's going on and our concerns over this. So. With that, I'll stop talking.
Jay, this is Sean Jansen. If you guys don't mind, I'd like to provide a little context to all this. First of all, thank you, Ryan and Chad, for being on this call. I just want to make sure everybody understands the usage level of the park. We have 3,500 members in our Washington Timbers soccer club. There's probably another 1,000 baseball players out here. So you're looking at a minimum of 2,000 or 3,000 families out here on the weekends and the fall and the spring. And that's just regular usage of our community members. But then I believe, Ryan, you spoke about the development over the last few years that have occurred here. A large part of that development was made possible by the success of the summer tournaments that we've had. And this idea of having a street through Harmony during like Clash at the Border, the largest tournament of any kind in Clark County, is really hard for me to envision. As it sits now, I get traffic control permits to control traffic on 192nd. you would have to just shut 13th down because the amount of people that are here throughout the weekend all day. And that's one. The second largest tournament in Clark County is the Summer Slam, which occurs in August, which has 10,000 people here over the course of 3 days. I just don't see how you can have cars going through with that amount of people. I wish I had a picture here to show you, but I just wanted to make sure you guys saw that. And then I have a real quick direct question. Let's assume that road goes through. You're still displacing two baseball fields. How are you going to amend that when we have a fixed amount of property here? Where are you going to put those baseball fields?
Well, the second question, I don't really have an answer to. What we had, when the complex came in for a pre-app here a few years ago, we simply said that as a part of, and that was, I believe, for a site development for a master plan. I don't think that was limited just parking. I think it was a number of different initiatives that were going to happen. And so the city's position on that was, well, we have a plan that shows 13th Street going through there. At a minimum, we wanted to have right-of-way dedicated for that. And so that would just simply result in, through the site plan process, you know, dedicating that right-of-way and then, you know, adjusting the location of those ball fields accordingly. But again,
and where did that conversation go? Because I think we're very amicable to that.
Well, the pre-app basically said, you know, as a part of developing the Harmony site in the manner in which it was being proposed. And again, I think this included the indoor complex. I believe it included potentially a multi-story building. I don't recall what the use of that building was, but this was a pretty significant redevelopment of the complex. And so in response to that, we simply, from a transportation perspective, said, well, there's a plan that shows 13th going through. At a minimum, we need to get the right of way dedicated for that so that that street can eventually be built. At that time, we didn't offer up a solution for where a ball field might be relocated. We were simply, you know, just identifying a transportation a requirement that was associated with, you know, a long-term plan that the city has completed. And I don't think anybody's really had much of a conversation about, you know, relocating fields other than what was being talked about when the county was talking with the developer about potentially doing some land swap. So, yeah, I don't have a lot that I can offer on that. Obviously, that would be a part of the conversation as far as if 13th Street's built, you know, how are those uses relocated or mitigated for? And now I'm forgetting your other question. I apologize.
That's okay. I just wanted to make sure you guys knew the level of usage. Like, you're talking about making this road safe. It would be impossible to drive through.
I have a very intimate level, intimate knowledge of the level of use. I actually used to have some kids that played ball out there when I lived over on 164th. And so, yeah, I've seen firsthand the amount of traffic that is going in and out of the site during a major event. And so, and that's one of the things that we want to try to help work towards improving is how can we continue to have those very, very large scale and popular events and get folks in and out of there both by car as well as by walking and pedestrian, you know, and bicycling, and do so in a manner that's safe. But yeah, the amount of usage of the complex is definitely not lost on me.
Okay, thank you.
Traffic usage is...
I just got one more thing. We received this grant money 2 years ago. My papers were given that information 2 years ago. I've been sitting on my hands as a good teammate, deflecting questions about when is the parking lot getting fixed? When is it getting fixed? The fact is, it's now been over, you know, 2.5 years. My time's running out. I got to give these people some answers. All right. That's all I have. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, guys. So lots of unanswered questions still to be continued. So as far as next steps, Chad, Ryan, should we reach out to you to set up kind of like a subcommittee, sort of a group that meets to work through the most pressing issues is this grant. and then work on examples of what roads would look like if one were to go through. Does that sound good to everyone?
That makes sense to me. I definitely want to make sure we're working on the parking lot work so that a grant opportunity is not lost.
Okay.
Yep. Absolutely. Happy to participate.
Can awesome. Can I request that a representative from Harmony Sports Association is on that committee?
Yeah, Sean, I was sure. just going to say, we'll reach out to all the stakeholders sort of involved to make sure everyone has a voice on it, definitely.
Thanks again for having us today.
Yes, thank you for coming.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks, everyone. Right.
We'll see you again soon. Awesome.
Bye.
Hey, Kelsey, and Steph and I could take on meeting coordination too, where we need some practice with our web technology. Ha ha, pun intended. So we could do that follow up if you like.
Yes, let's figure that out because I feel like so going back to what Jay said, since the fellows from the city have hopped off right now, does the board want to make a vote about sending a letter to the county council about our concerns right now? Or do we want to see this subcommittee form and kind of see where that ends up? What are people's thoughts? And actually, now that I'm saying that out loud, we don't have a quorum because Dave can't vote on Section 30 stuff. So, moot point. that. So that will have to be continued. So let's try to get this subcommittee going, and I guess that will be the next step.
Well, wait a second. Isn't it four that makes a quorum?
Yes. So it's you, me, and Jay, and Dave. Oh, we have Stacy. I didn't scroll Stacey over all the here. Way. Yes. I take it back. It's so hard scrolling through the screens trying to figure out
how we could because organize. I don't think we should delay. I feel very strongly that we need to go down placing our position very clear.
I'm fine with that. I just miscounted
On
my screen.
Well, let me make a motion then, because I would like to make a motion that we produce a letter, and I'd like for it to be signed by both the Parks Advisory Board and Parks staff, if we can, county staff, but to the county councilors, stating our position of due to safety reasons, opposition against 13th going through between 192nd and whatever it is, the Harmony Sports Complex, 172nd, and also to form a subcommittee at our earliest availability to address the grant, parking lot grant situation, and again, ancillary to the road and this configuration through Harmony Sports Complex. So there's two pieces to that.
Okay, two revisions. Parks staff apparently cannot take advocacy positions, but I would like to suggest apparently that Harmony Sports co-sign the letter with us. I was going to suggest that before I got this message, because I think that would be beneficial. And if someone, Sean, I don't know if you could get myself or Jay the data, like you just said, the 10,000 people on your biggest tournaments. Can you get us some of those figures? Because when you're talking about thousands of people crossing a road, I mean, this is not going to work ever. There's no conceivable way this works. But if we could have those numbers, I think that would really add substance to our safety concerns.
Yeah,
Sean.
I have all of that.
We need to make sure we're talking about traffic and pedestrian flow north and south.
Right. And we can address all that.
I have all that information. We've used it plenty of times for different grants and stuff. In fact, this grant that sparked this, we used that information on. So, Kelsey, I really appreciate you pushing this forward. I have a board and members too, and I think you can hear my frustration. This is now 4 years going when we started this grant, 2 years since we've received it. I'm telling the truth that I've been really good teammate. And, politically, you're 100% correct. And I know that, and I've been sitting on this and trying not to kick up a storm and go through the proper procedures. But each meeting results in, oh yeah, we'll need to talk about it. We need to talk about it. I mean, I'm ready to go with your blessing whenever to make this public. And I don't think there's any way the city of Vancouver looks good if we go that way. And I'm not trying to threaten anybody. I don't want to do it that way. But at some point, I'm not doing my job in representing the members by not doing that.
Well, that's why I said to the city, the optics of putting this road in are not going to benefit you at all. This is, the community is going to be up in arms about this.
I've got a motion up, so let's.
I'll second that motion as it was amended. Barbara.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, Dave. Do you feel like you were able to get the gist of that motion?
No. Can Jay repeat it, please?
Yes.
It would be two parts. Part A is that we author a letter to be signed by the Parks Advisory Board and Harmony Sports Association to the county councilors stating our opposition due to safety concerns to the road going 13th Avenue going through Harmony Sports Complex. And then B is that we form a subcommittee as soon as available, again, with all stakeholders, i.e. Harmony Sports Complex, our association, Parks Advisory Board, and the City of Vancouver to meet to, number one, try to get the grant. Meet the grants requirements so we can move forward on safety improvements to the Harmony Sports Complex. And then the second one would be to address the 13th Avenue going through Harmony Sports Complex.
Yeah.
Okay.
And upon review, I'll sign that.
Oh, sure. Okay. Brent, no problem.
We'll shoot, Jay and I will chat. We usually draft the letters. We'll try to shoot to get that done in a week, at least a week, and kind of go from there and be in touch with you guys. And we'll kind of send it around to make sure we didn't misquote anything. I hate to cut us off, but we're on a time crunch for someone who has to bounce to another meeting. So we're going to switch to Steve and Laura for the pros plan update. Thank you, Harmony folks, for joining us. We're trying to help.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelsey.
Appreciate it very much.
Barbara, okay. You get the MVP for pointing out that you had quorum. I really appreciate that.
I'm happy to oblige. It's important to us all.
It's Steve and Laura, take it over.
Good evening, Pat. We had some great results from our survey, and so I am going to let Steve jump in and share that information with you so he can move on to the next thing. Steve, take it away.
All right. First, quick sound check. Can everybody hear me okay? See some nods, some thumbs? Okay. So I am putting on screen the PowerPoint so you can follow along. So just want to just take a little bit of time to walk through the survey results. As Laura mentioned, we had great response rate for the survey. In terms of what we're going to go over tonight, I'm going to hit the highlights of the survey, and then I'm looking for some feedback, comments, discussion from the board. Just to see if the information is clear and if there are any surprises or shocking revelations. So for those who are not on the board, who might be listening in or dialing in, I just want to offer a real quick overview of the PROS plan, or Park Recreation and Open Space Plan. So it is intended to be the 6-year guide and strategic plan for managing the county's parks, open space, recreation opportunities, And really, it is the guiding document for the department and for the county in not only understanding where it is today, but implementing the set of projects going forward. So it's partly has a capital project list in there that really helps inform future budgeting and grant pursuits. And as a plan document, it also is a tool to help communicate where the county is, where it wants to go, and how it aims to get there. So as part of the public process for the Park Recreation and Open Space Plan update, we conducted a community survey. And the survey was an online only survey. So the survey was put together in English, Russian, and Spanish. It was promoted on Facebook, on the county's webpage. There were flyers at parks with QR codes, and there were Facebook advertisements put out to help remind people that it was there. And all in all, we had over 2,700 responses, which is significant, given that in 2015, when we did a similar survey, we had about 1,500 responses. So we came close to doubling, which is phenomenal for a survey that was only out there for about 3 months. So in terms of the results, again, this is the high level snapshot. We just closed the survey a week ago on the 31st of August. So we're still digesting some of the data, but wanted to give you a snapshot of what we've seen. And one thing that really stands out for us as we looked at the data is that the community really strongly feels that parks and recreation are vital or important to quality of life in the community. 98%, virtually everybody said it's either important or vital. And that's substantial. It's a couple of points better than 2015. And it just, again, reinforces the value that people place on outdoor recreation, parks, trails, and all good things that you participate in. One other aspect of kind of a warm-up question was with regard to maintenance and upkeep. So the graphic on the screen shows you the results from that question, where nearly 90% said that they were satisfied in that maintenance and upkeep of parks is either excellent or good. So you can see the splits on the chart. So again, very strong results just in terms of how the county's facilities are perceived and how the services of providing parks and recreation is valued. So with regard to visitation, there was a question about how frequently do you go to a park or outdoor recreation facility. We segmented this between trails. So there's a similar chart for trails. This one's more about parks. And you can see that park usage is also very high. A little over 90% visit parks and recreation facilities at least once a month. Over half go weekly. And again, that's very strong. The frequency of park visitation does decrease a little bit with age. Just to give you a little bit of a sidebar, the survey had several demographic type questions in there that helped us segment the data a little bit. Those demographics included age, whether you have children under 18 in your household, what zip code you are residing in, race, and another one that will come to in a little bit. But for the purpose of this conversation at this point in the presentation, just wanted just to reference that, again, frequency of park usage decreased a little bit with age, which is different than how it was for trails, and I'll come to that shortly. So one question asked about participation in outdoor recreation activities. So we provided a long list of things where people could check all of the different activities their members of the house participate in. And you can see at the very top of the list, hiking, walking, and bicycling are right up there at the top. Hiking, walking in particular, top ranked activity, also consistent with the 2015 survey and also consistent with regional, state, and national data that says hiking and walking is the most popular outdoor activity. One reason is it's no cost of entry. Everybody's got a way to get outside and walk on streets, trails, or through parks. So to me, no surprise that it's on the top again. Couple of things to note on the chart is that trail related activities represent three of the top five. So hiking, walking, bicycling, and jogging, running are activities that could occur on trails. And again, it's consistent with statewide and national data. Water-based activities also showed up three times in the top 10. So that included swimming, boating, and fishing. And you can see there's fairly clear breaks between the types of activities. So the first five down to jogging and running is kind of the top tier. Then there's a break between swimming and fishing, the next five. And below that are more specialized or individualized activities that have lower percentage rates of participation. One thing to note is that soccer participation increased since 2015. And it's also the highest rated sport field activity. So it's moved up the charts over the last several years, it's in the top 10. With regard to the demographic breakdowns, one thing to note is respondents with kids were inclined to participate in swimming, biking, and pretty much all of the sports listed. Another question asked about interest in expanding or improving amenities for parks and outdoor recreation. As very important, somewhat important, not important. So we, again, provided a long list of options for folks to choose from. And you can see in the chart as it's color-coded and it's ranked. So you can see that natural areas and open space and trails are at the top. Natural areas and open space also could be a proxy for some people for getting outdoors, being on a trail. It's kind of a loose term. So some people may interpret it to include certain activities. Again, with trails and outdoor spaces at the top, it's a very strong indicator where people's interests lie. Following that, playgrounds and play parks were strong, as well as water views and vistas. So multiple use type spaces and natural areas were generally favored over specialized amenities, such as splash pads, volleyball courts, off-leash areas, but also family and group spaces like picnic areas and playgrounds. We had a question in there about how do you get to your local park? And I think part of the intent was to see if there was a distinction about how folks are getting there via walking or biking, or if they're predominantly driving. You can see on the chart that 3 out of 5 or 60% drive to their local park, which is fairly high, but it's also, I think, consistent with what you'd expect across the entirety of Clark County. You know, especially once you get outside the urbanized areas, you certainly have to drive unless you happen to live really close to a park. A follow-on question was, what is your frequently visited park or most frequently visited park? And it was an open-ended question, so people could put in their own responses. So I've highlighted the 6 most frequent parks that came up. You can see many of them are large regional parks or like with Harmony, in a very active park that has a lot of a lot of folks there for sports and watching games. So moving on, there was another question about exploring the types of playground amenities that could be offered. And again, set up as how would you rate this thing? Very important, somewhat, or not important. You can see on the chart that nature-based play or natural play areas came in at a very clear top, followed pretty closely by all-inclusive play for people of all abilities. One thing to show on this chart really is the very clear prioritization people have put toward the types of amenities we've offered. It very clearly goes down the list 1 to 5 as I look at it. Not to say that adventure play or theme parks are not useful for certain folks, but if you're asking the general public about the types of experiences they'd like to see in playgrounds, nature-based and all-inclusive certainly came out at the top. I mentioned earlier there was a question about visitation for walking and biking paths. So here's the chart that shows that. So again, previously the usage or utilization for parks was 90%, give or take. For here, on a monthly basis, respondents said that they use walking or biking paths about 80% of the time. So a little bit less overall across the population. But here, unlike with park usage, trail usage did not really change across the different age groups of responses. So very consistent. And again, it aligns with the interest in seeing trails as well as the high participation rate in using or participation rate in walking, biking, running, and the like. We had a question about the types of amenities folks would like to see as part of their trail-based activities. So this list included things like different trail types, so unpaved versus paved trails, as well as different amenities such as trailhead parking, restrooms, water fountains, benches, and that. So you can see again, unpaved trails came out as a clear, strong priority. Really well tied with parking. So I know there have been conversations in the past about ensuring trailhead parking or activity nodes for parks as the system grows. This data reinforces that there's interest in making sure that trailhead parking is provided as the system grows. The other thing to note is that while specialized trail uses show up at the bottom of the chart, such as mountain biking and equestrian or horseback riding, you know, those percentages might be low, but they also serve very strong and very active user group constituents. So not everyone has a horse or access to a horse. Not everyone is out there on a mountain bike, but through the written comments that were part of the survey, and there were a number of different ways where folks could write in comments, the comments about providing space for equestrians and maintaining and expanding mountain bike trails were often written in by respondents. That's really the bulk of the highlights of the data. And I just want to walk through a little about the demographics. So one demographic question was, again, what zip code do you live in? So put together a simple map to illustrate responses. So the 20 counties or the 20 zip codes in Clark County are color coded based on the percentage of respondents received from that zip code. So the darker the tone, the higher percentage of overall respondents came from those zip codes. So you can see that the urban area was very well represented in high percentage of responses, and it tapers to the more rural and less populated areas. No surprise to me on that. And of these 20 zip codes that represent almost the entire data set, 99.4 of the total respondents were from Clark County, which is really impressive, especially given that the survey was open to the broad public. You know, friends could text friends to say, hey, take this. They might be of interest groups like mountain bikers who might be crossing the river or coming in from another area who are filling out the survey. But overall, the responses for the survey were predominantly of county residents. There was a question about age groups, which I mentioned earlier. So here's a graphic on the spread of age groups based on the different options folks have to choose from. One point to make on that is that the overall percentages for people over 18 in Clark County relative to those who responded to the survey is pretty consistent. So what I'm saying is the age group data is pretty consistent with census data. So not only do you have a good distribution of responses across the county with higher percentages in urban areas because you have more people there, but you also have relatively consistent data across age groups. So it helps validate the idea that the survey in some sense represents the broader public, even though it wasn't a statistically valid survey. Kids under 18 in the households shown here, haven't had a chance before this call to double check the census data on kids under 18, but these numbers do look fairly consistent to 2015. And in terms of gender, the responses did skew a little bit to the female. Generally in the county, it's about 49-51, 51 being female. So slightly higher number of women took this. And for race and ethnicity, there were just slightly higher percentage of Caucasian participants to the survey, which generally is around 80%, not 85% that's shown in the sample. So for the race ethnicity question, there was also an option for other. So things about the question and whether it's even necessary to ask the question about race because we're talking about parks. But all of that information will be provided in a summary memo that will be provided to Laura probably before the end of the week. We're just doing some double checking on some data, and with all of the open-ended questions and handwritten responses, we're still tabulating some things, but in all, we'll have well over 100 pages of material for the board to review when ends up the survey data summary. So with that, I'll close down the PowerPoint, or at least close the sharing so I could see your faces, because I can only see the PowerPoint. And then we can have a conversation as time allows.
Thanks, Steve. I'm going to go first, and then we'll just kind of pass it around real quickly. What's your timeline here?
I've got about 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay. First of all, thanks for all the spreadsheets. The visuals were really good on giving us an idea of what people want and what people don't want. I'm going to go on record saying I don't really care about the people who are offended by the race question. That's completely up to them. I need that data. In fact, I was going to ask you, I want to see it broken down, the people who didn't identify as white or who identified as a lower income level, if they feel they have as good of access to parks or walking to parks or that their parks are as well maintained. That information is important to me to make sure that we are being equitable in how parks are maintained in this community and who gets access to parks. So to me, the people who can be mad about the race question, that's perfectly fine. They can write all those comments in the box all day long. But it does matter to me if people in this community who are of color or who are of a poor income feel that their parks aren't as maintained as well as people in a different race or an income. And I think we need that data. So my only comment would be if we could break that down, not so much on the do they like people of color, people of lower, like hiking more, biking more? That doesn't really resonate with me. But the things that where we could do a better job as a parks department, making sure things are equitable in Clark County for parks and their access, I would like to see that data. Sorry, I got passionate about that, but that sticks in my craw.
All good.
So, moving on. That's all I have to say. Thank you for your hard work.
Well, I think there's a certain amount of that that can almost be inferred by zip code, and I hate to make that comment, but it's true. You know, if we take a look at people in the 98660 or 662, trying to think over there near Van Mall and stuff, and compare them to 98685 Phillida area. So yeah, I'm with you. It would be nice if we got the race response, but I think that there's a certain amount of comments I've made over a period of time that even within it, if you go up to, for example, Hazel Dell Park and look at the meager play equipment that we've provided there, I think we can answer some of those questions ourselves, but it's good to see them substantiated and supported by facts and data in the responses.
Can I
that if we can do that, that's going to take us there as well.
Can I just make a quick comment? You know, I try to remember I'm your staff, not an advocate for things. But I want to add one point to some of the work that Laura did. In addition to the survey, she held multiple focus groups with stakeholders, and the last two that she did were primarily focused on our communities of color, our Latina youth. She did work sessions with our disability community and homeless community. So we have a lot of data through the focus group process too. And I'm actually talking to Laura. We might bring it to your attention later on at another meeting, but it was very insightful. And though not as part of the statistical analysis that Steve is doing, it certainly was very informative, and it came from really large organizations that represent these groups as well as individuals. So I'm not going to steal the thunder today, but there's a lot more to this topic than we will cover today.
So this is Jay. I think the information we've developed on race and income intermingling is valuable information, but I don't want it to be the only driver to the use in the PROS plan. We got to remember we're developing the PROS plan, and I guess my engineer hat's maybe is on a little tight here to develop criteria and information on how we develop our parks in the future based on use, based on the other data that we're gathering. So I just don't want to lose sight or lose balance on this, I guess is the way to say that.
Well, is there somewhere within the plan, because I agree, it's got to be a balanced plan. But I think where this comes into play for me is I've been looking at like the PIF balances. And let's face it, our PIF balances in some of our lower socioeconomic areas are much lower and just will not be growing at the rate they will in, for example, some of our prime areas that are really building a lot now. Is there a way that we can balance and bring equity to those neighborhoods? I think that's got to be part of our strategic future plan.
Well, we've talked about if we make it the three PIF districts, we have more flexibility with that. But so that's one way we can do it, I feel. But we need to have those underpinnings in to make sure that people who are better at lobbying, know how to contact the county counselors, don't shift that money still to those neighborhoods.
Exactly.
Because yeah, that's my fear about breaking the PIF districts up. But my fear also is, like you said, Barbara, if we don't, those certain neighborhoods are going to be padded more with parks, leaving more park islands in our poor neighborhoods. Yeah. And I don't like, that doesn't sit well with me. So Steve, is there a way we can include, I don't recall anything in the PROS plan last time, a paragraph or a page about equity and how the county would like to make more strides toward making sure parks are more equitable in Clark County? Can we add something like that?
Yeah, we certainly can. And I expect, based on the conversation that Galena referenced, that it will be a fair piece of content that goes into the document, both in terms of context, but goals and maybe some follow through action items.
Yeah.
I think Debbie can figure that out.
Stacy, Dave, you guys have been quiet. Do you have anything about the results or the format, Stacy?
I just have a question. Were there questions in the survey about income?
There was also an income question that accommodated brackets, and I didn't share that because I felt like I was...
Because I think we're confusing race with economics. That's just a comment, but I think those are two very different things.
Thank you, Stacy. And like Steve said, Steve, we lost you for a second. I did ask that both be included because we got to look at them in isolation and in layers and overlaps, geography thrown into it. So to your point, yeah, Steve, could you repeat that? You didn't include it in the PowerPoint, but we do have the data, right?
That's correct.
Dave, you got anything for us? Are you good in your giant boardroom?
I think I'm good with it. I was pleasantly surprised at the water recreation answers, though, this year. I feel like they're higher than they have been in the past, and that's good because I'm an advocate for them. So.
And you all noticed how many survey results we got, right? We like doubled, I think, the numbers from last year. From last time, sorry.
Yep, 2,700. That's substantial.
Yep. So for next steps, since I know we're kind of running out of your time, because of the pandemic and us probably being perpetually stuck in phase two for some time, I would assume open houses are not going to happen. So what do you envision on collecting any more data? Do you feel we have enough with the survey results? Where are you at with that?
That's a great question. I would redirect to either Laura or Galena on that one.
Yeah, I could certainly jump in. You know, Steve, Laura, and I have had these discussions on and off, the three of us and the one-on-ones and with our media partners and public relations folks. I think any meetings in person are not in our near future. So what we've done so far with outreach in terms of the survey, stakeholder groups, focus groups, I do want to bring the stakeholder input to you so you could kind of get a sense of flavor of what we've learned with those means, and then potentially move into another platform that Steve introduced. It's sort of a similar to the survey, and the last time we discussed it, I wasn't 100% sure that it was much different from the survey that we did already. So I don't know, Steve, that we've reached a conclusive decision, but we're definitely not at this point planning any public meetings or even small group meetings. The infection rates are still quite high for our county, so it's a risk I don't want to take. Laura was looking into requirements from RCO. Laura, did you want to add anything? RCO does not require us to meet in person, correct?
That's correct. In fact, when I was reviewing the information and our public involvement piece, we've gone above and beyond the requirement. And I think that one of the recommendations that will come out of this is that we get public involvement more often through a variety of ways. And so those are some of the ideas that I'll present to you in the future. Steve and I did work together on the two group discussions, and Steve had put the questions together, and we had some great responses in those two meetings that we had this last month. So I'm excited that we'll get to share those with you, as well as some one-on-one discussions. So lots of ways that we've received feedback. So good stuff.
All right. We'll let you go, Steve. Thanks for your time and your work.
All right. Thanks. Have a good night.
Thanks, you too. Thank you, Laura, for all your hard work.
You're welcome. Good stuff.
Yes, thank you. All right, let's jump to Sarah to do the Lower Daybreak Park update. And then we'll cobble together the last few things. I think we can wrap up by 6. So that's the goal.
Sarah, we're so sorry we are so late. I did not realize you were still in the office.
All right, now I managed to unmute myself. Everybody, can you hear me? Thumbs up. Okay, great. No problem. I can, you know, work has flexibility these days, or at least it has to have some flexibility these days. So I'm going to go ahead and bring up the PowerPoint. I have it here. It's been a while since I visited PAB. Okay, let's see if I can get to the, this needs to go away. Can I just double click on it? Oh, there it goes, slideshow. Yeah, okay. So everyone can see that. So I'm still working on Lower Daybreak Park Trail improvements. I think last time I visited with PAB was in November of 2019. And we've had a few adjustments since then. Just a quick reminder, Lower Daybreak is in Council District 2. It's just northwest of Battleground, kind of in between Ridgefield and Battleground. It's on the northeast corner of 259th Street and northeast 82nd Avenue. And this just kind of is zoomed in. Here's 82nd Avenue and 259th Street. And this is the large site. There is an existing Daybreak Park on the east side of 82nd Avenue. And my project is on the west side of 82nd Avenue, connecting to the boat launch parking lot. So some project information that has not changed. We still are installing, well, hopefully, I'll get to that in a moment. We're going to be bidding the project here in the next, in November. So our plan is to install over 3/4 miles of paved and gravel trails. There will be a viewpoint to the East Fork Lewis River. We'll have picnic tables and benches along the trail, and there will be an access path that goes to the East Fork Lewis River. And the trailhead will be accessible. In fact, the trails will be accessible, and it connects to the boat launch parking lot. Just a reminder, most of the funding for this project was provided by Washington State Recreation and Conservation Office. It's a $500,000 grant, and that we have done quite a lot of outreach. There was extensive outreach done when the master plan was developed in 2010. That included surveys and all that kind of stuff that went along with that. And then we met with PAB in July. We had a booth at the Clark County Fair in August 2019. At our open house also that same month. In order to facilitate the open house, there was a digital media outreach campaign through social media, and also met again in November, and that was to update PAB on the 60% design. As part of the project, it was required to go through a conditional use review and also go before the hearings examiner. So there was a public hearing in May of 2020 in front of the hearings examiner. It was our first, I think the first virtual public hearing meeting that we had as a result of COVID. And there also was a sign placed out on the site for a month prior so that the public could know about the public hearing. And then here we are today in September of 2020. Let's skip a page. Let's see. Oh, whoops, sorry. I thought I might have skipped a page. Okay, sorry. I'm a little. No, I didn't. Okay. So currently we're at 99% design. The project is in final engineering review. We're getting ready to submit for our second engineering review. I'm assembling all the documents for that. Our next step will be final plans. Specifications and estimate in October, and we're planning to bid in November. I think at the last meeting, when I gave a 60% design update, we were over budget. And so one of the ways that we strategize for being able to maybe try to bid what we want and then also account for being over budget was to come up with a bid additive plan. And so that's what I really want to present today, is the plan that we chose to incorporate. And then also, I just want to note that RCO was provided the bid additive plan, and they approved our strategy for bidding the project. And this is, we hope that we can get all of our additives and get the full build out. But in case we cannot, we want to at least partially build the Lower Daybreak project. Construction is planned for January through June 2021, and then we will do some mitigation planning either the following fall or early in 2022. So I'm going to switch over and go ahead and share the bid additive plan, because that's kind of the point of the meeting today. I can find which screen I have it on. Adobe. Okay, let me switch over to the right plan. Give me a moment here. Okay, so hopefully everyone can see this. So the blue represents our base bid. So this is what we are planning to build out if that's all we can afford to award to a potential low bidder or contractor. This includes the HMA path from the trailhead to the viewpoint, and then also the access trail to the river. And also the viewpoint will be concrete. So if we are able to award additive one, we will include a gravel trail from that point on. This is represented by the turquoise to the planned turnaround area, and it will be a gravel turnaround. If we can afford to award additive two, we will add the green gravel trail. And then our last additive, if we can afford to award it, would be to come back, and this would be the full original plan for Lower Daybreak Park, would be to have this all be paved from the royal blue to the trailhead, and then the turnaround. And then the turnaround would be now, instead of gravel, which it was as part of the turquoise plan, it would be a cement, just like the viewpoint. So that is basically our plan for bidding the project and the additives that we've broken the project up into. And I brought the master plan. I have that. I know last meeting it was requested by the board to have the master plan available. And I can bring that up if someone wants me to bring that up to compare to what we're showing here. But let me go back to my PowerPoint. I think that's all I had, is kind of short and sweet. Just wanted to present the bid additives and answer any questions if there are any.
I have a question. This is Dave. Okay. The royal blue, how long is that section?
That is a good question.
Roughly.
So I believe this was about a mile or a half mile to the turnaround. So it's a little less. So it's less. It's probably a third of a mile.
Okay. And is there any budget for benches or anything on that?
There are benches along the trail.
Okay. Thanks.
So basically, the additive was broken up into these sections, and then any amenities that were along these sections were included in that additive. So if there's picnic tables and benches along this route, those will be awarded and kept. Any other questions? Thought I heard somebody.
It was me and Kelsey asking if anyone else has questions at the same moment you asked if anyone else has questions.
Oh. We're speaking on top of each other.
Are we good for Sarah? All right. Thank you, Sarah, for the update. Exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited to get it through to the end and get it built for the pop book.
Just if I may, Kelsey, I'm so sorry. I do see Pat is still on the line, and so is Laura. Pat, just to be clear, we do have a grant timeline, right, that we have to meet with this project? Okay, maybe we lost him.
Pat, are you able to respond to that question?
Yeah, there is a grant timeline. As we are extending the duration of the project, we will likely need to submit an amendment to extend the time frame. I think a few months. I think it was, I want to say, June of 21. That was supposed to be the completion date. We'll have a lot of things done by that time, but we might not have the mitigation or all the plantings in by that time. So we would probably be in a position to request an amendment, which should not be, in my mind, it should not be a very big deal at all with RCO.
Great. All right. That's okay, Kelsey. The only reason why I brought that up is we have not been able to go to council for approvals on any of our projects. So we're still waiting direction on when we could have, we could take our notices to contractors for some of them and get approvals for others, for other types of regulatory and legislative requirements. So at this point, since March, we've not had a single project go in front of them. So stand by, I'll give you an update on that, hopefully within the next week or two.
All right, thanks, Sarah.
All right, thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Okay, everyone, let's circle back. I'm looking at the agenda on my phone here. Sorry, it's really tiny. Let's talk about the PAB member appointments and term expirations. So I'll do a little bit of that since Megan's not here and Galena can chip in what I've forgotten. So I had socially distanced coffee with Kelly in his garden and was lucky enough to go home with 2 jars of marinara sauce and 1 jar of salsa. You should be because it's delicious. But he gave me the news that he is got a lot of work with the Arboretum right now, and their meetings are the same day and time as ours, so he will not be continuing on with PAB, and Galena sent that information to you. So we have 3 openings right now. We have, I think, 2 members, Stacy and John, are still interested and are submitting resumes. So that for sure probably leaves Kelly's position open. I shared it on PAB's Facebook post and Clark County Good Governance, and we had over 1,000 views of the post about board members. So we're looking to add some diversity to our board, and we're excited. Galena, do you know how many applications we have in at this point?
Not yet. They're going to the county manager's office first. That's how I guess the process works here. I'm still learning the ropes, but I could give you an update on that at the next meeting, or maybe even by email earlier.
Yeah, let's chat about that, because when we filled Stacy's position, because our bylaws really don't specify how we fill positions, which is something we wanted to flesh out in our bylaws. We had the executive board narrow down our candidates, and then we sent the county manager our like top three, our recommendations. And I think we were envisioning trying to do something like that again. So let's let you, Jay, and I talk about that, and then we'll kind of fill the board in from there.
Sounds good. I need to reschedule our agenda setup meeting anyway, so I'll just add that to our list.
Perfect. Awesome. All right. We also have the funding committee membership and work plan. So if you recall last meeting in August, we approved a motion to send a letter to the county council wanting to discuss budget issues with how we fund parks and maybe creating a subcommittee to explore more stable funding. So last I heard, we hadn't gotten much feedback, but Galena and I were on the phone and you had gotten an email from the auditor's office because a counselor had inquired about our budget. So are we still kind of in a holding pattern? They're looking at things and deciding if this is something they want to support at this point.
Yeah, I put it back on a moderator so he could check in with them and let me know. But I know they've asked for a lot of information and data about our budget, which sounded really great. So they're looking at things and I'll let you guys know what I learned.
Okay, so that'll be sort of a to be continued. I mean, and then we can maybe as a board vote on if we want to proceed anyways, just without, you know, council approval. That's not the right word, but council input on who would be good fits on the board. We could still reach out to people in the community to form some sort of subcommittee to do that exploration, but we'll leave that for another month. All right, Galena, manager's report.
So it has been probably one of the most hectic few months in my entire career. This last few weeks have been absolutely just, you know, I don't throw this word lightly, just huge in terms of inquiries and issues and concerns and love for parks. It's like all kinds of conflicted feelings from people. You know, I think definitely my team is ready for the summer to be over and for the good weather just to be done. And then the windstorm happened. And today we were just like buried by inquiries from people. Cleanup schedules. And there was a fire by Vancouver Lake on the state side. I don't know if you guys heard. There was quite a bit of smoke. And so it's been an eventful summer. A couple of things that are really important to note. Dora Hernandez, I think I mentioned before, Dora was moving to Texas. Our initial plan was to telework with her for a bit, kind of transition some things out. That's not worked out for us. So we have a vacancy in our team for Dora's position. We already had a vacancy for the parks assistant. So we literally do not currently have a volunteer coordinator. So I am right now focusing on park hosts specifically, just so we can end our summer as successfully as we can. We have two vacancies on that team too. So it's been kind of crazy, but if you know good people who have good experience in volunteer management, are passionate for equity and inclusion, have experience working with diverse communities in our area, please encourage them to apply. I have already received about 20 applications. And the position closes on the 18th. The park assistant position will remain open. It's helping us balance our budget this year because we had to really kind of focus on savings and cut back on our non-essential spending and things of that nature. So yeah, if you could help us on that, that would be great. Here in the next couple of months, there will be some budget hearings. Last year, we went to council in November to get approvals for our budget, and not to rehash what I've mentioned before, but we have a couple of things in front of us. One, we have to make some significant cuts, about $3,000, to just balance the budget, and that includes both general fund and MPD. And we were also asked to come up with some savings ideas for general fund, additional up to 8%, and between our park side, that comes up to just a little over $200,000. So if both of those are taken, that's about 10% cut to our total budget for the division, and those are significant cuts. So I think this year, and when I say this year, I mean budget for next year, we'll be able to make those cuts in some of our operating supplies and temporary support. But for parks, that's quite critical. You know, we're such a seasonal program. When we got temporary stuff, we got stuff. So that's kind of where we are right now. So there will be budget hearings in a couple of months. We'll send you information if you're interested in hearing, attending. We'll let you know. And just thank you to everyone who's reached out to my team and I, whose words of support and everything that we do. We appreciate you so much. Sorry we can't keep up with everything, and I don't know why we can't make this technology work, but I promise you we're trying. Our heart is there. We're just so glad to have your faces here for those that we could see, and your voices for those that we can't see. You are such an important part of our success. We couldn't do it without you, honestly. Definitely not this year. So that's it. I just wanted to vent a little bit and let you know how much I care about your support. That's all
Thank
I got.
You, Thank you. You guys are the skeleton crew, and the boat still floats, so you're doing great. Back to a housekeeping thing, because we have time. We need to make a motion to approve the minutes from August. So they weren't attached to an email. They were just posted on the county's website. So I'll just abbreviate them real fast here. It was the motion to adopt July's minutes. It was a motion from John and seconded by Barbara to send the letter to the county council exploring long-term budget solutions. And then the third one was the motion to send the letter to start the discussion with the city about our concerns for Section 30. So can someone make a motion, if you're comfortable, to approve August's minutes? I see Barbara trying to make a motion. Barbara, wave if you want to make a
motion. I'm trying to let me off mute. Yes, so moved.
All right, it's been moved. Anyone second it?
Jay seconds.
Thank you. It's been seconded. All in favor of approving the meeting minutes, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, it carries. I think I have flown through that. Sorry it felt rushed. I just felt nervous to keep us on track with Chad and Ryan had timelines, and then Steve had timelines. So I know we cut a lot of important discussions short, but I have a feeling we're going to be having these discussions for months on end, maybe years on end with Harmony. Hopefully.
Well, good job of keeping us on track.
Well, thank you, because, you know, it's less awkward doing it through a computer screen than it is at a table. I'll say that. So does anyone, you want to go around, you want to do that? Or do you just want to go pour a glass of wine and eat your dinner? Are we good? Good?
I think you're good.
I do have a question. Who's leaving Parks staff? Laura?
Laura.
No, sorry. I never pronounced those two names correctly. They love it when I do that. Dora Hernandez, she moved back to Texas.
Okay.
Part of English, not my first language. I'm trying, Dave.
You had me worried.
Dora was really great too. And I was just going to do the plug for send your volunteer hours in, but I feel like that would almost be more work for park staff than it's worth right now with no one to actually log your volunteer hours. So maybe save those up. And I sometimes send 2 months, 3 months at a time when I'm feeling lazy and haven't done them properly. So
or just log in and do them.
Jay or David never works for me. And I hate to see that person. Oh, but I'm that person. I'll try again. All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Hopefully we'll get that figured out and streamline that for next month. So take care, everyone. See you soon.
Thank you.